The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing, Good Friday's racing for the first time in ever, in fact. And we've got Lingfield and Musselburgh, two very good cards to look forward to. There's the All-Weather Championships at Lingfield and a very good card at Musselburgh. And Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and James Millman will be live on Racing Radio from 1:35 for all of that. So tune in for Good Friday's action. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. Yes, in very good form and, well, just getting ready for the Easter Bunnies to arrive, really.
Yes, and for the first time, Pimmy, we have racing on Good Friday. Good thing or bad thing for you?
I don't think it's a bad thing, that's for sure. I think we'll be able to measure by the size of the crowds that they get at Lingfield and Musselburgh tomorrow, just how popular it's been. Certainly, they've put on some very competitive racing at Lingfield and Musselburgh, some decent prize money, and I'm certainly not against racing on Good Friday. I'll just go to church, obviously, before racing starts and go after racing's finished. My slight concern is, where does it stop?
Mm.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well,
I can just see next thing, I'm having Christmas lunch at Wetherby, you know?
Yeah.
Which again would be no bad thing. At least I'd be able to have it with somebody else.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it might not be a bad thing. We'll move on to Friday's racing shortly. We're going to look ahead to the inaugural All-Weather Championships at Lingfield, £1 million card to look forward to there. But before we get there, let's just talk about a few of the news stories, Pimmy. And with regards to the classics, we've seen quite a few changes in the last few weeks and horses stating their cases. And the latest one was Sandiva for the 1,000 guineas. She won the Nell Gwynn Stakes. She was 7-2 favourite and she won that race by half a length ahead of Yoro Charlene and Majeda. And we saw Frankie Dettori doing his flying dismount and everybody seemed very happy with it. But our trader's not necessarily too impressed because Sandiva remains 16-1 for the 1,000 guineas.
Yeah, I thought it was a workmanlike performance by the daughter of Footsteps in the Stand, to be fair. She had a difficult draw to overcome at the start of the race and Frankie was very patient with her. She showed a good winning attitude and got the job done in the end and obviously gained Group 3 status for her. So, you know, there's plenty of value for her there after she retires from racing now with that big success under her belt. But I think the first question we have to ask ourselves is, how long ago is it since the North had the winner of a classic? And if my research is correct, I think it was back in 2004 when Attraction won the 1,000 guineas, Mark Johnson. I think prior to that, it was Mark Johnson again in the 2000 guineas, 94. Was it Mr. Bailey's, was it?
Yes, I think it was.
Yeah. So that stat is a worrying stat, isn't it, that the North haven't had success at classic level for many, many years.
Yeah, I suppose that would be a concern. And at the moment, Rizina still heads the betting at 7-2. There's then a whole host of them at 8-1. Itimar, Lucky Crystal, Miss France, My Titania, Tap and Tapestry, all 8s. And then 12s for Bracelet and 14-1, or bigger prices the rest. But Sandiva in there at 16-1. Moving on to the other guineas, the male version, the 2,000 guineas. And the betting changed quite markedly when Kingman won the other day. He's now the even money favourite. It probably will have changed again by the time this podcast is released because we've got Tomo running in the Craven. But even, I suppose, if the result is a positive one, then this story would still stand up. But Richard Hannan's saying that they're not frightened of Kingman.
No, well, and why should they be? I mean, Tomo did absolutely nothing wrong last year, proved himself to be a high-class individual. And obviously, you know, they'll believe that he's trained, or we'll know about that further later on in the day. And again, he's a high-class horse. Kingman, well, you couldn't fault his performance at the weekend, could you? You know, he travels smoothly, travels sweetly, quickened up when asked, could do no more than what he did. Again, he's a high-class individual as well. And if Tourmore comes through his test today with flying colours, then we've got a race to savour a little bit later on in the month, haven't we?
We have, yes, because you'd have Kingman, you'd have Tomo, you'd also have Australia from Aidan O'Brien, who's been well touted as well. Kingston Hill, you wouldn't write out of it. Walkerman, who blew the Coventry apart last year.
That's right. It's plenty to look forward to. It's just, at this moment in time, it's not just Kingman and the Hannon horse. There's plenty in there with chances, but two more to come through his prep today with flying colours would really make it mouth-watering, wouldn't it? And going back to the O'Brien camp, word on the street is that his horses are a little bit under a cloud. They might have been coughing, you know. So, again, we just have to treat their form with a little bit of caution at this moment in time. And just going back to that Newmarket meeting, for me, you know, we had the classic pointers and one thing and another, but the horse of Michael Appleby's that won the sprint, the last race on the card, he's got bigger and better to come, that fella. He did it really well. And it was a very, very competitive field with a lot of unexposed horses in there taking the chance. And this fella did it absolutely easy peasy lemon squeezy. There's more to come from him. And I think, again, we're going to see Michael Appleby rise and rise and rise in that trainer's table. Dan Zeno is the name of the horse. And he could be going places, that fellow. I was very impressed with him yesterday. The dogs were absolutely barking him yesterday morning at 9 and 10 to 1 and returned 6 to 1. He won by an easy 3 lengths. That was a very eye-catching performance.
OK, good stuff. So plenty learned from Newmarket then, and we're going to see something different on Friday, because it's the first time we've had racing on Good Friday. It's the first of the all-weather championships, and we're going to look at it. We're going to look ahead to that action in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Yes, Pimmy's going to try and give us the inside track on the racing at Lingfield. We're going to look at the last three races on their card. So that's the Sprint Championship, the Mile Championship, and the Classic, the Easter Classic Middle Distance Championship. We have betting on site for all three of those races at the moment as well. So you can have a bet as soon as you listen to this podcast. And we're going to start in chronological order in the 405 with the All Weather Sprint Championships, which is a condition stakes of a 6 furlongs, and the betting is headed by joint favourites Lancelot Delac and Stepper Point, both 11 to 2. Valcheck is 6 to 1. Taruk 13 to 2. 7 to 1 for Rivolino, 8 to 1 for TrinityElite.com, 10 to 1 for Hawkeye the New, and 14 to 1 or bigger prices the remaining runners. Talking in the office, Pimmy, you quite like one in here.
I do indeed. Do like one indeedy. Just going back to to the head of the market, Lancelot Delac and Stepper Point. Interesting is Lancelot Delac definitely in the shape that you know, he ran well enough behind Trinity Light.com at Kempton last time out. That was in a very, very competitive handicap. He was taking a post early on that occasion, so whether he's just a little bit quirky remains to be seen. But he does come into the race with a big, big chance. And prior to that 50, he'd ran really well throughout last season. The other one, Stepper Point, I'm slight concerned that 6 furlongs might be beyond him, really. He definitely has got his best form over the minimum distance, and again I should imagine that this is going to be run at a ferocious pace, so he might just again find it a little bit stamina stapping, and he might possibly not get back home again. With this race, it's going to be very important that you get a little bit of a look and a little bit of split. Of late, I didn't think there was quite such a bias at Lingfield for middle to outer. One or two horses have been coming up the inside rail and getting home of late, so I think that's helpful to a lot of these, so they're not having to come wide. If they can get a gap up the rail, then they show, so should be it. But I'm going to take a chance, and he's a juicy price for me in the shape of Taruk. Now, we saw him here last time in a listed race. He had one or two of these guys behind him. He had one or two of these guys prior to that listed win behind him in a handicap. He's been specifically trained by the very shrewd David Barron for this race. And I think he's, what price did you say it was? 7 to 1, 6 to 1?
13 to 2.
13 to 2. That is absolute juicy each way value. Again, he's got to have a little look in the race, but providing he can do that, we know he likes the track because he won on it nicely last time out. Graham Gibbons seems to know how to ride him. And I think he's smashing each way value to be had there. On official ratings, it's very, very tight. Stepper Point would be in a handicap, will be giving weight all round, but I think the 6 furlongs is crucial to him. I think that might just be his undoing. Of the rest, they're very much a tight-knit bunch. And as so often with sprinters, it's who turns up in good form on the day and who just gets that little bit of running throughout the race. But for me, the Northern Challenger, Tarouk, 13-2, is juicy.
Okay. Tarouk then, the selection in the 4.05. Moving on to the 4.40 next, and this is the All-Weather Mile Championship condition stakes. It's over a mile, of course, and the betting is headed by Grey Mirage, who's 7-2, 11-2 for Captain Cat, Sirius Prospect 6-1, 7-1 for Chuki Royal, George Guru is 8, 10s for Anaconda, 11-1 for Highland Knight, and 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. Who takes the mile contest then, Pimmy?
Well, I thought, again, very, very competitive. Grey Mirage has been in great form of late for the Marco Botti yard. Again, a little bit to find on official ratings, but he does seem to have a progressive profile. He had George Guru behind him here last time out, and again comes into the race in real good heart, so certainly you wouldn't have him out the equation. I thought the highest handicapped horse in the race is Chuki Royal. Well, again, he was slightly disappointed last time out. That was at Doncaster on the turf. We can forgive him for that disappointing run. Prior to that, he'd been in really good form with himself. And you'd have to think that he can do well tomorrow. He has run well here in the past, but possibly prefers Wolverhampton as his best artificial surface. And the other horse I thought was interesting here was Highland Knight from the Andrew Balding yard. Slightly disappointed last time out when he was 8 lengths behind George Guru, but I think I can forgive him that disappointing run. He's been in reasonable form with himself of late. I should imagine he's quite a juicy price, Highland Knight.
Yes, he's 11-1.
Yeah, so I think he looks a little bit of value for money there. And I think the other horse that I think could come into the race with a squeak is the David O'Meara Frontier Fighter, who's been in cracking form of late. Again, his successes have come at Southall. Whether he'll really thrive on this surface remains to be seen, but again, I think he represents value as well. So I'm going to take two against the field, looking for value in the All-Weather Mile Championship, and it's in the shape of Frontier Fighter and Highland Knight.
Okay, Frontier Fighter 16-1 with us at the moment, Highland Knight 11-1, so a bit of value against the field there. And onto the 5.20, the Easter Classic All-Weather Middle Distance Championship. It's a condition stakes over a mile and a quarter, and the betting is headed by Grandeur, who's 9-4 favourite. Robin Hood's Bay is 7-2, 11-2 for Solar Deity, Marshgate Lane 7-1, Dick Doty Wiley is 10s, and then 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Grandeur heads the betting. Pimmy, was disappointing in the Winter Derby when only managing to finish 8th. Robin Hood's Bay was the winner on that occasion, and speaking to our traders this morning, I was led to believe that Robin Hood's Bay is a standout price with us, joint top in the industry at 7-2. So do you think he will confirm the form, or do you fancy Grandeur to reverse?
Well, I think, was there any excuse for Grandeur last time?
He wasn't drawn particularly well, but
he wasn't, yeah. But you know, he was beaten a fair old way, wasn't yeah. he? And he's going to have to really turn it around this time to overcome Robin Hood's Bay. Obviously, Robin Hood's Bay was a surprise winner of that Group 3 Winter Derby, but by the same token, I think he beat him fair and square. I don't think there's any reason why Grandeur should turn it around, unless you can forgive him. But by forgiving him that poor draw, I didn't think there was much else excuse-wise, you know what I mean? So, for me, I think Robin Hood's Bay certainly represents a little bit of value for money. And I just feel that of the three classic races, the big races, this is the weakest one. I think you make a case for 3 or 4 here, and then the rest are snapping at heels for some nice just over $9,000 for 4th place, and 5 for 4.5 grand for 5th, and 2 and 3 for 6, if you know what I mean. So there's good prize money on offer, but I don't think this is the strongest of the three championship races by any means. And I suppose if I was going for value again, I'm going to follow in a yard that's in rampant form at the moment, and that's in the shape of Dick Doughty Wiley from the John Gosling yard. Absolutely flying his horses at the moment. And although he was behind Robin Hood's Bay last time out, I think he might represent value simply because the yard's in good form.
Yeah, flying, aren't they?
Yeah,
absolutely flying.
Absolutely flying.
Okay, so Dick Doughty Wiley then in the classic let's have a little bit of a summary for me, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, yeah, it's all competitive stuff, as you'd imagine, on Good Friday at Lingfield. I'm going to take a chance with Taruk each way in that all-weather sprint championship. In the mile championships, looking for value each way in the shape of the Northern Challenger Frontier Fighter and the Andrew Balding-trained Highland Knight. And in the Easter Classic, the all-weather middle distance championship race, I'm going to take a chance again each way, looking for value in Dick Doughty Wiley.
Okay, good stuff, Pimmy. Enjoy Good Friday's action. I'm sure you'll be watching it, and good luck with those selections.
Yeah, we look forward to it. And there's one thing for certain, I won't be watching.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Good Friday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and James Millman in the studio. We have this card at Lingfield, the All-Weather Championships, £1 million in prize money on offer there, and a very good card at Musselburgh as well. So tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.